This week on the Digital Marketing Scoop, we're talking with Jack Gaisford about leveraging LinkedIn for your business. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Digital Marketing Scoop. This week we're talking to our guest, Jack Gaisford. Jack, very welcome to the podcast.
Hey guys, how are you?
Very good. So Jack, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, I run a video marketing agency called V21 down in London. And the whole reason we exist is to create and bring as much attention to brands and businesses through consistently producing content as opposed to producing a single video, putting it out online and hoping that it goes viral. So we're all about personal branding, building up trust, building relationships, being authentic, and just being human. Human to human is what I like to call it. So yeah.
Excellent. So I suppose the one place where we saw you a lot was on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And your the quality of your videos on LinkedIn, the engagement, your audience and that is fantastic. So do you have a particular process you use to create that content that delivers that kind of engagement?
I wouldn't say necessarily a process. I would say it's about, I think it's the mindset that you're in. I think, I try and surround myself with as many creative people as I possibly can. I try and become inspired or motivated, to make content from other people's content. I think there's a big misconception that when you create content, it has to be brand new. It has to be the newest idea that nobody's ever done before. And I think that it's almost impossible to think of something brand new. So surrounding yourself with creatives and people who really understand their industries, I think you can become inspired and you can say your take or you can share your opinion or start a conversation based on what they are making. And I'll be totally open and honest and say that, a lot of the content that I make isn't my own idea. It's been inspired by other people's content and it's me simply sharing my opinion. So I wouldn't say that there's a process. It's just surround yourself with people who make interesting stuff or have interesting opinions on certain subjects and kind of jump in on the bandwagon and share your side of things. But I think if I was to answer it correctly, it would probably be to have sort of like a day or so where you are just thinking, you're meeting people, you're just talking to people and just see what comes of it. I try and meet as many people as I possibly can. And even when you aren't expecting to have kind of a video idea pop up, it just happens. So yeah, try and get out there, meet as many people as you can and be inspired by that. So yeah,
I like that process a lot because there's nothing worse than sitting down and going, right, I have 20 minutes now and I must do something now and I need the bolt of lightning right now. Whereas actually if you give yourself the leeway, what I always have is a Google Doc even open on my desk and every now and again I just have a notion, let's call it. And it goes into the Google Doc then for when I have allocated time to sit down and record something or do something, then that's when it's there then for when I need to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's handy. Yeah,
absolutely.
I suppose absolutely. As well, the thing is everybody's process is going to be different because it's going to be custom to them and what gets the creative juices flowing for them. So process for one person might be perfect, but then you hand it to somebody else, you're like, I cannot do this. This is not work for me.
Absolutely. I think that just comes with trial and error as well, trying out different processes. I mean, I'm sure that you have a very different process to what I do in terms of who do we interview or who do we have a podcast with or what content do we create this week. So just trial and error. But if you don't do it, then you'll never find out. That's my motto.
And that is the thing from everybody on this podcast we talk to. Everybody's just, it is just do it. Just get out there and start creating the content. Yeah. If you screw it up, if it looks crap, if it does whatever, it's still more eyes on your brand and you're going to refine the process over time.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
I mean, that's the big fear. Everyone has the big fear of, well, it's not going to look great for the brand if it's not perfect, but it's not ever going to be perfect. Sorry. Yeah. Do you know?
If you keep waiting for it to be perfect, you'll never publish anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it.
So I suppose kind of sticking with LinkedIn, Jack, in terms of timing of posts or anything like that, because you do, in fairness, your engagement is fantastic. Is there, do you have set times where you find, or days where the engagement levels are higher for your content?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and this is, again, going back to our question, going to depend on who you're targeting, what your industry is, who your audience are. I think for myself personally, I try to target people in the mornings, so on the commutes. I never post on a Monday just because nobody has time to be on LinkedIn. And if you do, then you're not doing enough work. yeah, I post really early, sort of 7, 8 a.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, maybe Fridays. I used to post at midday and it worked for then because I was targeting those sorts of people. But it's totally down to who you're targeting towards. And again, this kind of sparks another conversation, really. It's why are you looking to get more engagement? The obvious answer is going to be, I want more attention on the brand. I want more people to know the business. But if you can provide value, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about what that means later, to a single person, that could lead to a massive project. That could lead to business. You don't need to inspire 50,000, 100,000, million people to get business. You need that one person. And if you can target a piece of content towards the right person, you've won. Even if you get 10 views and you get business from that, that's a successful piece of content. So yeah, I'd do your research on who you're trying to target, what their pattern of life is like, what they're doing at certain times of the day. The reason I do 7 to 8 a.m. is because it's hitting the commuters. It's when people are on the train to London and they're flicking through their phones on LinkedIn, catching up on professional news or whatever it may be, and suddenly I'm a pattern interrupt. I am there in front of their screens. They're giving them value. I'm entertaining them. So that's what I try and target. But it's going to depend completely on who your audience are.
Yeah, completely. And it always, for everything, it seems, whether it's timing or actually creating content, it's always going to go back to, have you actually talked to your customers or potential customers? Do you know about them?
Yeah. Know what they're doing. That's like, as you say, if you know the people you want to get in front of, that they're on a commute to London in the morning, then it's absolutely perfect. What else are you going to do when you're sitting on the tube?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, I know people who post every single day, twice a day, including Saturday and Sunday, just because, you know, they might be targeting just normal family people. They might be targeting the older generation. I don't know, but it that works really well for them. For me, not necessarily.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, and I think that this is something that people do find hard to get their head around, is that scale of content. Those people that are posting every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, you know, you look at the Gary V model, 60 something times a day. How, like, you post, we'll say, you know, very good content, but not as frequently, we'll say, as some other people do. But you're still getting extremely high engagement rates. So I think a lot of people think that they do need to be posting, you know, 5, 10, 20 times a day to start building this. But you're an example that you don't necessarily have to be that active.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that quantity and quality argument always, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. That's exactly it. I think the more content you post, it starts to become very time consuming. It starts to be damaging to a brand because you are seen too much. And I think that sometimes that can really start to frustrate people and actually alienate them from your network. I haven't necessarily encountered that myself. Sorry, go for it.
My take on that is always, I think it depends on the brand.
I agree. I think if people were to be frustrated with me because I post too much, I don't want them as a customer, because I want them to want what I do for myself for themselves. I want them to want to be seen every single day. I totally agree with you. It depends on what you offer.
Yeah. So Jack, I suppose when you're getting a lot of engagement, you're going to get a lot of comments. You're probably going to end up dealing with that bit of conflict on the platform as well, potentially on LinkedIn. How do you deal with that yourself?
So in terms of conflict, what do you mean? Do you mean
in terms of negative comments? Or else as well, maybe push back on content as well and things like that.
Yeah, no, interesting question. I think a lot of people, I think, understand quite well is that LinkedIn is a professional network. So it is your reputation in a sense. And I think that whenever you do, whatever your activity is, whether that's posting a piece of content, whether that's commenting on a piece, whether that's sharing a podcast or an article, it's seen by your entire network at some point. So I think that people refrain from posting negative comments in fear that it will damage their brand, it will damage their reputation. You know, LinkedIn thus far has been the most amazing and supportive and positive platform that I've ever been on. I've come from YouTube, so I used to make a lot of content. I used to make vlogs on YouTube that never really went very well. But it's just pure hate on YouTube. It's just trolls and it's just negativity. And coming over to a platform where people genuinely want to support you and see you grow is amazing. So I don't think there's necessarily been conflict. I think from time to time you'll get, you know, whether that comes from jealousy or something else, a person that just is just frustrated or is annoyed. But I think that's more of a personal issue for themselves rather than something that I've done. I think, you know, people might see, and this isn't to toot my own horn, you know, I'm not famous or anything like that, but people might see a piece of content of mine reaching 50,000 people and they'll reply, oh, it's not very good. And that comes from jealousy. It comes from wishing that they had been able to do that themselves. But yeah, I've always been very, you know, thoroughly supported, and I like to do the same for other people. So, you know, if people are wanting to get on LinkedIn or if people are wanting to make content, LinkedIn's a great platform because you are just going to be supported. It is just positivity and love in that sense. There's really no hate. So it's a very easy platform to ease yourself into that content creation process. Any other platforms is a completely different story.
You make a very good point there, actually. If somebody is looking to start doing video content, and especially if they're in the B2B space, LinkedIn is a much, for want of a better word, safer environment than, publishing content on YouTube or Twitter, or, you know, where you, as you say, you're going to have bots, trolls, the whole lot. That if, especially if you're starting out, the last, you know, people are always afraid of the first video going up and then this wave of negative feedback coming at them. That is, if they're going to do it, LinkedIn's probably a safer spot.
Yeah, it's the safest bet,
Totally agree.
There you mentioned as well, Joe, about LinkedIn being, it is a professional network and that's what it is for and that's what it is, but the personal content can, Joe, tends to work a little better. Do you find that there's any kind of conflict in your mind when you're going, this is a really kind of personal piece of content? Is it perfectly suitable for LinkedIn, or do you think that actually LinkedIn is becoming a little bit more of a mixture between personal and professional content?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, because for the last few years, LinkedIn has been very professional. And I don't think people have really understood how to attract people or how to kind of get those clicks from people. But what we've got to remember is every person behind this image, this professional image, is a human. They're a person. They've, you know, the most corporate CEOs who run a £500 billion empire still have kids and still go to the pub and still watch TV. They're still people. So they're going to like to watch and consume content that is authentic or is real or is personable. You know, they are human. They don't want to watch something that's silly or corporate or too professional, because it's going to bore the hell out of them. So I think that I don't really know what the line is in terms of professional and personal, or whether, you know, the definition of professional is now just being human. I don't know. This is a huge conversation to have. But I think that LinkedIn's becoming a lot more accepting of that sort of content, of the openness and that authentic approach, just because people buy from people. It's not B2B, it's human to human. That's what I've always said. And I think, you know, if that's what you like to do, if your fear of getting into content creation is that you have to be in a suit and tie and you have to sell them and shout your products and services, don't worry, because you can create a vlog, you can create a day in the life of me or something, you know, and people will watch that. You'll have people who love that because you have an amazing personality. They don't buy your products or services, they buy you. And I stick by that. I really stick by that.
It's authentic. I think that's the thing that has to come across. And when you do that really pure salesy video pushing that out, you're not going to get the engagement levels. It's not what people want to see. If you've got a great story, or you're being authentic, or you're talking about something that actually happened during the day, that's much better for your brand than like a flashy sales video at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I posted a piece of content a couple of days ago on LinkedIn that was how not to sell on LinkedIn or something like that, and I had got the salesy messages over the last year. I don't know if you guys watched it at all, and put it up, and it was so well received. And it just goes to show, you know, people don't want to be sold to. It's as simple as that. But they can't get it into their heads that that's how it works. They don't understand that by being human, you actually sell. You know, I mean, how often do you guys get sales messages on LinkedIn saying, do this, you know, all the time?
I got one the other day. Hey, what was it? Good morning, sir. And I was like, oh, no. It's all downhill from
copy
here.
Copy and paste. Yeah, yeah. But even probably you posted that video, you probably got, just because of that video, like 20 email messages just selling you again.
I did. The worst one, I had someone say, hi, Jamie. And I thought, you haven't even learned my name. Dreadful.
Well, he forgot to change it after he pasted it in.
That's true. But there's definitely a balance. I don't think you can be too personal. I've seen a half naked bloke on LinkedIn, and people praised him for it. I've never understood.
Is that Fraser
it.
Carter?
I
don't know what
Yeah, I don't know what the balance is, but it's becoming a lot more personal. It's becoming like a professional Facebook, I think, which is, I love it. I absolutely love it. I can't fault it.
It is a really good platform at the moment. The engagement is great. The content, people are really creating an awful lot of content for it, and LinkedIn is rewarding them, which is important. So hopefully that will last. But I mean, with most of these things, you're going to get maybe another year, 2-3 years out of it, probably max, before there's a lot more content and consumption, and then your reach is going to go way down, basically.
That's the thing with LinkedIn. Yeah. It's frustrating sometimes because you're like, oh, why do you not have certain things that all other platforms have? Like, I know the live is in beta and there's little things, and like their servers, there's issues with LinkedIn. No doubt, but that little lag behind might keep them a little bit more behind in their algorithm and keep things flowing nicely just a little bit longer.
So there's that. It's true.
So I suppose in terms of standing out on LinkedIn, Jack, any kind of tips you'd have for people around that? Which are specifically with video content?
Because a lot of people are making videos now, and you know, there's a lot of the same kind of format and stuff. Is there any kind of little tricks you'd have around or tips?
Yeah, I think that's another good one. I think you touched on something there that is, again, a big conversation, that people are jumping on video, but they're doing the same thing as everybody else. They're posting at the same time. They're making the same content. They're filming in portrait mode on their iPhone with no captions. And, you know, the content itself is good. If you take the time to listen to it, they know what they're talking about. They're trying to give value, but they just have a lack of understanding and knowledge of how to grab that attention. So I think tip number one would be something along the lines of, I think you've got to be bold. I think you've got to be different and not be afraid to be personable. I think, you know, as soon as you get on an iPhone and you make a portrait video, you've already failed, because LinkedIn is now becoming, like you say, it's becoming saturated. And the more people who make content, just like YouTube, you know, the reason it's hard to grow on YouTube is because people don't put the effort into standing out. They are hoping that it's going to work. And it's the same thing with LinkedIn. If you are hoping that it's going to work by doing the same thing as everybody else, it isn't going to. And that's, you know, that's just the brutally honest truth. You've got to put effort in, because when it works, it seriously works. And the return of investment is massive. You know, it's a proper strategy. It isn't just, oh, I'm just going to go on video for fun. It's a serious marketing strategy that if you pull it off, it works incredibly well. I think, you know, I've always thought, why should I give a business my time of day if they don't make me? You know, and some people say that's a little bit arrogant or it's a little bit rude. It's true. Why do you guys care about a business that are posting awful content? You don't. You want them to make you want to know about them. So I think tip number two would be things like give value. And whatever value that is, I don't know. It could be information around how to do something. It could be a tutorial. It could be an update. That's up to what you do in your industry and your audience, I guess. I think that that's quite a big part that people get stuck on. It's the how. It's the what do I create? And I just ask people, you know, well, what do you like to consume? What do you like to watch? And then often they say, oh, nothing to do with business. So we'll make content that isn't to do with business. You know, people are human. People aren't robots. They like to enjoy. Consuming content is it's a break for a lot of people. It's when they're on the commute home. It's when they don't want to consume work. They're flicking through YouTube. They want to be entertained. There's a great phrase from two guys called Dan and Lloyd, who run a company called Knowlton, who call it advertainment. And it's entertaining advertising, which I think is brilliant. And it's selling, but it's entertaining at the same time. And I think that would probably be what I would try and do. You know, there's there's loads and loads and loads of courses out there that charge you a fortune to learn how to do things, to learn it on YouTube. You know, there's thousands of free tutorials online.
Yeah.
You know, I've never understood those sorts of things, how people can charge you thousands and thousands of pounds for information that you can learn for free if you just spend a bit of time learning it yourself. You know, we've all got to start somewhere. And if I was to show you my first video, holy God, it was awful. It was dreadful.
Is it on YouTube?
It's blocked from YouTube.
Oh, totally. I'm going to put the link in on the show notes.
No, not doing that. But, you know, we've got to start somewhere. And it's like we said at the very start, if you don't do it, or if you spend time pondering over how can I do it, you're wasting time actually doing it. And you're never, ever, ever going to learn if you don't start. There are always going to be awful first videos. But if you look back on that in 6 months' time and go, that was great, you haven't progressed, and you will have. So, yeah, that was quite a lot of information there. But that would kind of be my tips and tricks, really.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. I think that a lot, one of those things people always say is, you know, it's video. People didn't want to do it for so long that people were just literally saying, look, you just literally need to take out your phone, put your face in front of it or face it the other way and just start talking. But no one actually kind of said, and learn a little bit of editing or learn a little bit of just cut and chop or just very basic stuff. Like, I wouldn't be a videographer by no means, but you know, just a little bit of a cut and paste here and there makes things a little better.
And there's so many free tools even on your phone.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
Loads.
Yeah.
Loads. I started out with iMovie, which is you get it for free when you get a Mac.
Yeah.
Or, you know, iPhones have it. That's what I started on. And it's got the basics, but the basics are good enough if you're just starting out to learn new things. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with starting out with free software. There's another great guy called Richard Bohr, who I sat down with for about an hour or so the other week and had a chat. And he highlighted this really interesting point, and it was, if it benefits the business, you have to do it. There's no two ways about it. And he used the analogy of his kids. So he's got two kids, and when it's 3 a.m. in the morning and one of them's crying, he doesn't want to get out of bed, but he has to for the benefit of the kid. Same thing with business. You don't want to get behind the camera because some will be uncomfortable, some will find it really awkward, but you have to. It's where business is going. If you're not online and making good content, it's going to be incredibly hard to be seen, especially in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years time, when hundreds of thousands of companies have got good reputations or got great communities or great brands established because of the content they've made. You're going to regret not making it. So that's another thing.
I'm totally robbing that comparison for my next next time a client is like, no, I'm not going in camera, I'm like, would you do it for your kids?
Yeah. love it. No, it's a great saying. It's a really great saying.
It is. And that's brilliant.
It's so true.
Jack, that was fantastic. Thank you very much.
No, you're more than welcome. And have a great rest of your day.
If anyone listening would like to find out more about yourself or your business, where would we send them to?
LinkedIn, Jack Gaisford. I'm sure you'll probably see the content. Don't worry about going to the website. I'm not going to sell it to you guys. Just come and consume some of my fun content and we can go from there.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thanks very much, Jack.
Cheers, guys.